What, have you lost all your sense of reality?
This isn't reality. This is fantasy. You wanted adventure? How's this? The old adrenaline going? Huh? Good boy. Now get in the closet.
Welcome back to Star Trek Discovery Pod. This is Mike, and this is a Patreon preview episode of our Badass Women of Trek series. As you may have guessed by the title, we are covering Star Trek episodes that highlight a badass woman character of Star Trek, like Uhura, Major Kira, Deanna Troi. You get the idea. So you can listen to the series in full and more at patreon.com/StarTrekPod. Sign up at the $1 tier to get all the bonus exclusive episodes. Sign up at the $2 tier to get all the episodes, plus more free stuff, including an invite to our Slack community, where we're chatting all day with Star Trek fans, throwing watch parties, having a great time. So patreon.com/StarTrekPod to hear the full episode, rest of the series. And this episode is a preview of our breakdown of The Lorelei Signal. That's an animated series episode in which Uhura takes command of the Enterprise. Enjoy.
So this was episode 4 from the first season of the animated series that first aired September 23rd, 1973. And it was written by Margaret Armin and directed by Hal Sutherland. I think this is pretty awesome to see a woman writer on this, especially. And Margaret actually went on to work on the original Wonder Woman series, as well as the Bionic Woman. And she was actually supposed to be the story editor for the original series after season 3. But the show was canceled before she could take the helm, which sucks. But she went on to do some pretty rad stuff.
Yeah, I looked her up. She wrote tons of, like, 80s and 70s television.
Yeah, she had a pretty rad career spanning lots of different genres. But I think a kind of fun specification on, like, sci-fi and superhero stuff, which especially for 1973 is pretty phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. This is the only time Lieutenant Uhura assumes command of the Enterprise officially.
Can you
believe that?
That fact blows my mind that this is the only time she's ever left in charge.
Yeah, the only time.
I wish we could have seen this in live action.
Because
I love the animated series because they can do some really wacky things with, like, the aliens and stuff. And we'll kind of get into that with Hot Freaks. But
well, apparently that was Roddenberry's vision. He wanted to show her in command every now and then because, you know, it wasn't just Kirk who was in command. He would go off and Scotty would take over or someone else would take over. And he wanted to show Uhura in command because she was always on the bridge. But because of the sexist climate in the era, in the 60s, he couldn't do it. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, even when you think about it from the standpoint of it being 1973 and a black woman being in charge of something like this, like, I was trying to do some research about, like, even the first black female, like, naval officer. And that did not happen until, like, the 80s or 90s. For someone to have that rank. So this was definitely, I mean, if, like, the Equal Voting Rights Act passed in 1965. So this wasn't that long off from that. So pretty phenomenal for the time period. Also, like, yeah, this is the future I want. I want her to be in charge. Because obviously all these dudes can't take the signal.
Ridiculous. I'll take this next one. In the Ultimate Guide in Star Trek Magazine, issue 163, they rated this a 4 out of 5, and with the scene of Uhura leading the landing party as the best moment from the animated series. I haven't seen a lot of the animated series. This is, like, the third episode I've seen, and last time I saw the animated series was in 2009 when the J.J. Abrams movie came out. Mm-hmm. And I saw it then just because they had there was an episode with Young Spock that kind of was the inspiration for Young Spock that we see in the movie. So I know you've seen a lot of this animated series. Is the animated series a lot like the original series? Is it just the original series in animated form? I know it's shorter. What are the big differences?
I mean, it's a lot of the same. It's all different plots. So there's no like repeat episodes that I'm aware of. I could be wrong. It's been a while since I've rewatched the original series in its entirety. I definitely watch the animated series actually a little bit more frequently. I think because it's something that's kind of easy to have on in the background. But they definitely do a lot of time travel. They do a lot of alien worlds. I feel like it's just a almost like a continuation of the original series in a way, but animated, so they get a little bit more unwieldy with like the possibilities of what can happen because okay. they don't have to worry about special effects, if that makes any sense.
Right.
The novelization of this episode also names the mysterious region where ships have regularly disappeared the Cicada Sector, the male luring Turin hypnotizing equipment as the Laura Mag. Additionally, the adaptation has extended introduction involves the transporter operation that returns the landing party to their original bodies, actually affecting their memories as well, which is kind of funny because when they did, I was like, oh, fun. Star Trek magic. They're just young again. No worries. But that's cool to know that in the novel, they're like, oh, they're, let's throw a few more side effects in there because this is a little too perfect of, a bow on top of this problem.
That reminds me, today we have a theater in our building. I live in an apartment building. We have a theater. So I went down there because no one's ever in there. It's great. So I went in there and my wife was in there and she was watching a TNG episode on cable. And it was a season one episode. And at the end of it, Picard like joined with some alien mist. Then he became mist. And then he was out in space as mist and his body had disappeared. And they had to get him back by recreating his profile in the transporter, right?
Oh, the carry-on.
Yeah. And getting like his... So they're always doing this weird shit with the transporter, like creating people from the transporter, or like, it was really weird. And then when Picard rematerialized as himself in a transporter, it was the same thing. He had no memory of what had happened. He was like, how did I get here? What's going on?
That's funny.
The transporter takes your memories. All right.
Are you ready to move on to some hot freaks?
Hot freaks! All right, you go first.
Yeah, so I'm the one who suggested this episode because it is one of my favorites from the animated series. This is probably one of my favorites to rewatch anytime. Like, even before I sat down to rewatch it for this recording, I had probably seen it just 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's one, like, if I'm scrolling through the animated series, I'm like, oh, we'll just start here. This seems like a good place. It's got all of my favorite elements. They're exploring an alien world, hot space babes, women in charge, and like very funny kind of, you know, they're going to solve the problem by the end of the episode, right? That's what's so like easy to watch about these episodes is, you know, everyone's going to be all right in the end. So even as they're aging, and there's lots of funny little quips from Spock to the rest of the crew while they're on the land, like during the landing party, because he's like, oh, don't worry. It seems we're aging 10 years a day. But I'll outlast you all. Like, and, you know, it's those moments where it's like, oh, all of these series of very lucky circumstances help them get out of an unlucky situation. And so I think it's really fun. I also like when Uhura realizes, like, what's going on. And she's just like, all right, all the women have to be in charge. Rerun all the data. All these dudes have messed up. We got to double check and fix all these problems.
Yeah, I agree. I think this one's great. It was a great idea to start this series, this badass Ladies of Star Trek series, with this episode, because this is one where Uhura takes over the ship and saves everybody. And one of the best things I liked about it was Uhura's like shoot first and ask questions later attitude. Mm-hmm. She just takes charge even when Nurse Chapel's like, "You can't. What are you doing? I'm taking charge.
It's happening.
We can do this." And she goes down, she recruits an all-female team, and they zap the shit out of those sirens down there, whatever they're called. And it's funny that, I mean, this was 1974, right? So did it bother you that the Sirens are supposed to be the most desirable women in the galaxy, but they're all
white blonde women.
White blonde, blue-eyed Barbies.
I feel like that was almost a part of the joke.
The joke. Maybe?
You know what I mean? So. Like, I think it is saying, like, oh, all of these seemingly hot women who have found a way to deal with their problem, but not the best way to deal with this problem, are going to finally be assisted by this, like, beautiful, multicultural, intelligent Starfleet crew of badass ladies. You know, it's like...
That is a great reading.
And so that's what I like to think of it. I also think it is, like, the ultimate temptation, right? Because we know this crew is pretty smart and savvy for the most part. And so for everyone, including Spock, to get sort of hypnotized by these women, I think they have to be, like, that utmost, you know, air quote, ideal woman. And during the 70s, it was definitely the tall, blonde women that were, on covers of magazines.
I really like that reading of it, that these quote-unquote perfect white female women who had this sway and power over men didn't have the creativity or the forethought to figure out how to get themselves off this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens at the beginning? They send out this signal and they lure the Enterprise men down and they zap their life force in order to keep on living, right? Because some Star Trek bullshit, the planet allows him to do that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, couldn't you just use the signal to lure somebody down and then ask them, hey, can you help us get out of here? Because this planet's kind of weird and fucked and we're all alone. And it turns us into literally like vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of want to live a normal life and have a normal life. Because at the end, that's basically what they want.
Right.
But they just keep perpetuating this horrible, dangerous thing where they literally murder people.
Yeah, I think I love that the ladies were able to figure out a way to solve the problem for them. And like, I think it goes back to, I think, the morals of Trek, right? Like, Uhura was like, yes, we're going to shoot first, ask questions later, but we're going to stun them. You know, mm-hmm. like, we're not coming in like real guns a-blazing. We're going to come in and rescue our people, and then we're going to try to see how we can help them out. You know, like, ask, I want to see what your full problem is, and like, oh, okay, now I've figured out a way to help you. You really just want to have a normal life. Let's just get you the F off this planet.
Yeah, and one of the parts of the episode I really found a lot of fun was the core trio, Bones, Kirk, and Spock. Right at the outset, they're struck by this, right? And they're having these visions of the women, and the planet is luring them down, and they can't resist it. However, part of them knows what's happening.
Right.
It's almost like they can step outside themselves and see how stupid they're acting and how horrible they're acting, but they can't do anything about it. I really like that idea because that reminds me of, like, adolescence in my teenage years, you know, when I was like just really spellbound over somebody, you know, I would just kind of not think of anything else and do kind of like really stupid things. Like, oh, I'm going to dress this way because she'll like it, or I'm going to do this. Really stupid. And I could see outside of myself and be like, man, what are you doing? This is dumb, you know? So there was definitely a lot of, I don't know, social commentary, parody going on here.
Yeah, and like if we want to like start from the, you know, sort of breakdown starting from the beginning of the episode, it's like funny how, you know, they're on to this adventure, right? And Spock is like, I think it's Spock is just like, I don't know about this, you know, all of these ships have disappeared. What do we think's going to happen? And then it's like the countdown and you're waiting for something really, I think, them to get fired on, something crazy to happen. But then it's just like, oh, we're picking up a signal. And Uhura is just like, yeah, we're getting a signal. I'm not quite sure what it is. And then Kirk's like, play it over the loudspeaker for everybody to hear. Like, because that's a great idea, which they do. And then I love their weird, trippy, like mushroom horn dog visions. You know, like Spock's like, it sounds like a marital drum. And like... all of these, again, though, all of these very traditionally beautiful women that pop up into these men's visions. But I think it's really funny.